Okay, everyone, it's time to hurry up and wait in the regroup, your podcast in between the stages.
Yeah, g'day, welcome to the regroup. I'm GT.
I'm Zane, how you going?
Yeah, not bad. It's called the regroup with Zane and GT, isn't it? It's been a while, I've forgotten.
Yeah, I think so.
That's good. One of us might be on the right page, but probably neither of us today. It has been a while, sorry about that, but today the boys are on the way, soaking up the heat on the way to Mildura, actually, going to pick some oranges.
Yeah, well, I've always wanted to go to Mildura, get a bag of oranges, not sure what else to do there, but find out.
Zane actually, he sort of lived in Mildura for a few months?
Well, I was working, so I just was in a shopping centre for 3 weeks, surrounded by country folk.
There's enough time to not want to go back, though.
And yet, here we are. So why are we going to Mildura, Guy?
Unfortunately, there's no rallies, but I have come to know recently that there was some rallies run, like some state rallies run out in the Riverland back in the day, which I'm not sure how fast a Datsun 1600 can go in a straight line, but they would have found out, pretty sure, because I doubt there's many. Well, I mean, they do tell me that there's corners out there somewhere, but I doubt it. But there used to be rallies out there. We're not going out for rallying at the moment, but it is speedway season. It's not rally season. Yes, it is going to be about 38 degrees today, and probably the same about 6 o'clock when the boys hit the track. Who are we going out to see, Zane?
Friend of ours, Michael Busby, has taken up speedway over the last few years, and spending a weekend with him. I'm just wondering at the moment, there's a man in front of us, we're in a car by the way, we should probably talk about that, but there's a man in front of us with a trailer. Could I just get on his trailer if he's going to Mildura and save a lot of fuel?
I'd be a fan of that because I've paid for a tank of petrol, so wouldn't mind saving a buck or two there. He probably wouldn't notice, he's got a pretty big rig.
Yeah,
big rig. Michael's been doing wingless sprints for a couple of years now, maybe the second main full season he's been doing. For anyone that doesn't know, a wingless sprint here in SA or Australia is a Buick motor, a Commodore motor, 3.8 litres of fury, never late. And no wing on the top, but a sprint car chassis. And it's one of the most popular categories at the moment. They've been having regular fields of 40, 50 cars at a meeting. And did you know, Zane, it's actually the state title tonight.
The state title, just one round, is it? One round state title.
Yeah, that's how the speedway works most of the time. They don't really have a multi-round. I think they have series.
So what's the reason for doing the other rounds?
Good point. Just practice.
We are going to learn so much this weekend, and hopefully we'll take you on the journey with us of discovering speedway. I'm wearing a Fiat hat, and Guy is going to be wearing his Mitsubishi shirt. So I think we're going to be beat up by some country speedway enthusiasts, but that's a risk I'm willing to take.
We'll join him in drinking a bit of Bundy as well. We'd like, to get back into it and talk a little bit about rallying as well. It's going to be a big year in Australia with the ARC.
I'm going for the overtake, Guy.
Here we go.
It's a transit.
Now we're just using more fuel. Anyway, I'm getting back into the SARC this year. A few things going on. Zay might drag someone out of the shed or potentially finish one of his projects.
Nope.
Well, you heard it here. Anyway, that's the last time I'll ask that question. apologies for the poor audio in the car. We're going to do a bit more recording later.
If you can hear a clutch throwout bearing, it's not yours. It's definitely mine. I'm sorry, we're in Leroy the Lexus at the moment. We'll try and cut some of the white noise out, but if it's not, then I'm sorry about that. Bad luck.
There you go. No worries. So Monte Carlo rally happened. That was a thing. I think there was a lot of speculation prior to the season. With Calais out. What was your thoughts on that?
It's interesting. I think it's hard for people like Evans and Thierry and Oit and stuff like that. It's always going to be hard this year because I feel like deep down they know that if they win, it's because Calais wasn't there. But you can't really take that away from them. And I think it's, funnily enough, it's going to be a really, really competitive year. Definitely for our boy, Terry. It's finally his year, I think.
That's true. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, and the real interesting bit is that Ogier and Calais are going to be at every round. Like, I'm pretty sure they will be competing still at every round, so Toyota has three entries. So, I mean, one of them could still win the championship of six or seven rounds combined, potentially. If Calais wins all of them, he might screw with everyone else that's sharing the points around a bit too much. It'll be really interesting. So I don't think the level of competition on the face value will be down, but I suppose the points will be...
I think, like, the prestigiousness of winning that year or this year or whatever, but I don't know, 10 years' time, we probably don't care that Kelly wasn't there. So, yeah, I think Terry, it's his year. Please, Terry, do it for us. Don't fuck it up. We love and support you and proud of you for what you did in Monty. So, yeah, stay with it.
Yeah, that's it. He did do a good job. And, my prediction was Terry O'Monty. Was it yours?
I had Evans. And I think I'd like to think that was the correct pick, but he did have a few issues, I think. I don't know. He won the first stage at Shakedown. I don't know. Something.
Yeah, Evans was, I think he was leading early on. Yeah. This is how much we watched. We're just talking about a made up event here almost in our heads. I think Evans was leading early on and Terry was second. Ogier was lagging a bit. Then it sort of all flipped on its head a little bit. Evans ran out of steam. Ogier came good, Terry came even better.
Yeah, I did watch a little bit, but not as much as I should have. I think we both lacked a bit of rallying motivation, but you actually caught the bug halfway through. I noticed you started sending me a lot more messages near the end.
Yeah, well, obviously, look, and something we started a couple of years ago now was the regroup WSC Fantasy League team, and I'd actually been doing it 2 years prior to you young fellas. Yeah, I'm a pioneer, actually, really. And I don't know, like, just with the Calais thing, the whole, we'll get into it in a bit, but the whole points crapness going on, with more points on Saturday and Sunday and the power stage, I don't know, just sort of lost a bit of flavour. Plus, just the WRC as a whole now is, there's not enough personality in it. It needs more Netflix about it, I think. Although I'll never not like rallying and just losing a little bit of interest. So I actually didn't make a WRC Fantasy League team, much to Zane's disgust. Mm.
Well, that's good for you because now you can just say you would have had the perfect team every week.
That's true.
And still pick on me for my decision making. Yeah,
it's just like me asking just before about asking our predictions after the event.
Definitely. Yeah, of course you picked Terry, guy. Good choice. Wow, you're so smart.
No, yeah, I did think about that quickly afterwards, and actually, my head picked Ogier.
Ogier? Really?
Well, how can you bet against him and Monty?
I think he doesn't have the it's hard to say, but I think Evans and Thierry this year are going to take whatever they can get, and I think they're going to go for the full send strat. So, honestly, I think Ogier is going to struggle to win around this year. I think he doesn't have that full send kind of mentality that Evans and Thierry need to have in the 1 year that Calais is not going to be there.
So you reckon he's got that edge. It's interesting. Like, they obviously needed to protect their championship too. I did really find it interesting though that it did seem like Ogier was really trying, but he couldn't quite match that raw speed of Neville. And whether that's got something to do with the Hyundai as well, maybe that's made a step up in their setup and speed there, and I guess we'll find out subsequent rounds. Toyota has actually traditionally been a little bit slower in Sweden, funnily enough, over the last few years than Hyundai. Hyundai had, I believe, a 1-2 last year with
Thierry and Breen, right?
Tanak won.
Oh, Tanak, right.
Oh, no, not last year.
No, last year was Thierry and Breen,
yeah,
right?
So, that'd be interesting. The Toyota have been doing a lot of testing on snow, overshadowing the bombshell news about Lewis Hamilton moving to a red team has been Calais and Elvin doing the Arctic Lapland Rally up in very northern Finland, the home of Santa Claus. And I mean, that's not the coolest part of that event.
What's the coolest part of the Arctic Lapland Rally, guy?
Latvala is doing it is El Salica, so that's pretty cool. And many Volvos and BMWs doing massive skids.
Are you still? Is that the dream still alive, or what's going on with that?
Long story there. Did sort of look into doing that event because it's bucket list stuff. But yeah, just the old funding issue reared its head. But yeah, definitely on the bucket list, and the things I want to do is go to a snow rally one day. Interestingly enough, looking into that event and the subregs of the Arctic Lapland, it said for recce you needed to carry a first aid kit, a sleeping bag, a very good jacket, and a snow shovel, just for recce.
Mm. And what, you're not wrecking in a Lexus IS200, I'm guessing?
Maybe.
Maybe. I think you'd be walking a lot.
Yeah, I think I'd go there way underprepared, but that's all part of the adventure, I think. But at the very least, I'd like to go do some snow drifting on the lakes and stuff. Very jealous of everyone on Instagram doing that at the moment in February. Yeah, the jealousy wears off about March, but every year it's a struggle.
Yeah.
Anyway, back on track.
You brought it up, which I was shocked by, and I think this really tells about how big this news is. Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari. Guy Tyler, man who famously doesn't like F1, he's heard about it. So I think that's the news of the week, news of the month perhaps. But I think the thing about that is it's 2025. He's moving there. So it's like we get a whole year of talking about Lewis in a red car before he does it, which I'm not sure if I'm excited or sad about that.
You did say blue balls on the chat, didn't you?
Yeah, a lot of blue balls for that. And I think even the commentator's going to be like, oh, you know, what's going to happen with Lewis next year? It's like, well, let's focus on this year. We haven't even started this year yet.
Well, I mean, showing how much I know about Formula One, or just sexy Spanish blokes, where's Carlos going to go? What's happening there?
So I've got a fun fact to you before we get there. So this silly season was famously not silly because it's the first year in Formula One history that there's been no driver changes.
Really?
But yeah, so no, every single driver that started last year or finished last year, is starting this year. So it's the first season ever. And then everyone's accepted that, not a very silly season. We get to January and Lewis is in a red car. So there you go.
Yeah, right. That's very interesting. In motorsport in general, there's always changes.
Yeah, there's always something.
Yeah, crazy. There you go.
Carlos.
He put a statement out. He doesn't have a seat yet. I think he's going to Audi. So Sauber at the moment. Their Audi 2026. I think he's going to end up there because they're going to need a good driver. Mm. And currently they don't have any good drivers. So I think he'll find a place. He's definitely a really good driver. He's the last Ferrari driver to win. Mm. He's about to lose his seat. Mm. So I don't know. Work that out. But yeah.
Yeah, right. That would almost follow in the footsteps of Carlos Sainz Senior winning Dakar a few weeks ago in an Audi.
Yeah, that's true. There's connections there. Yeah, okay. Put a good phone call in. But that's my prediction. I think it's the only real open seat. Red Bull's going to have an open seat soon, but they've got lots of drivers. Mercedes technically has a very open seat, but I don't think Carlos is going to sit in it. So I don't know.
Fair enough. Well, maybe Carlos Sainz Senior can drive the new Audi Formula One, because clearly he's still got the edge.
Mm, we could have Carlos and Carlos in Audis. Yeah.
That would, on face value and media value alone, that would be amazing, I think. But that's enough about Formula One for now,
That's the yearly dose of Formula One chat.
We're done. Yeah. Well, clearly there's nothing to talk about.
Well, we can talk about it next January when he actually is in a red car. We can come back to the topic, circle back. Because this year, let's be honest, Max is winning this year. Mm. He's going to win at least most of events, mm-hmm. probably all of them. Sure. So we'll just put the F1 news on pause and then come back in a year.
Cool. Where were we?
Monte Carlo just ended and you're doing... Oh, Evans and Calais doing Lapland.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. Friend of the show. I was watching Instagram this morning, Taylor Gill. He's getting ready for a massive year. Congratulations, really, to him for securing a year in the WRC Junior category through the FIA Rally Star award process. Amazing opportunity, and Yeah, really good to see a lot of Australian businesses and I guess Australian rally enthusiasts getting behind him for what's a pretty cool thing to do, and not many Australians have had the opportunity to do it before. But yeah, I saw he was over in Arctic Lapland on the side of the road watching some WRC guys go past and looking pretty cold.
Is he, what's his first event of the year?
WRC Sweden.
Okay, perfect. So that's what, 2 weeks away?
Yeah, I think they're doing, he said they're doing a couple of week course or a camp with all the rest of the WRC Academy or junior, whatever you call it, people, drivers.
Is that just to teach the snow driving or what's that about?
I think that's a few days, but the rest of it would be driver development.
Yeah,
I'm not going to speculate.
But isn't this the whole point of the podcast? So I don't know if we brought this up yet, but we aren't in front of our computers and we've done no preparation. So anything we say is probably not true. But here we are anyway. Are you still recording? Okay.
We're in a convoy.
We're behind a trailer that has a Speedway car on the back of it. And look, it's not a very visual experience listening to a podcast, but it's, I don't know if you've ever been to a Speedway event, but the trailers are spectacular. There's a full image of the car on the back, been painted on there. Matt Tyler, number 14, the purple car. Sorry, that was the rumble strip. It's a good experience. You don't get that at rallying. You get very beige, boring, expensive transporters.
You do. Exactly. We are so boring. I recently made a purchase, Zane. I did buy an enclosed trailer in the off-season, and I have had suggestions of putting a lifestyle image of my Magna on the side of it, with me with my shirt off, hanging out the window or something. That'd be a good advertisement. Very excited about my new trailer. It's not why you listen to this podcast, but it's going to be a good thing. If you're ever at a rally and I'm in my trailer, come say good day.
Yeah, and you also cut a hole in the side of it. As you put it,
yeah, we're putting in a door.
Yeah. Is there a door there or just a hole?
There's just, half a hole at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to be putting a 12-volt system into it. Put some disco lights or some... I thought about it, but you get 12-volt projectors. Kids would love that.
You can get them, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so... You know, when you're bored or, you know, you're in a regroup, you can come around and watch Bluey.
Yep. I won't be there, but, you know.
Fair enough. Back on track, wherever the track was. Yeah. Taylor's in Finland.
Sweden. Finland.
Watching some rally cars. That's pretty cool. Getting ready for WRC Sweden in a few weeks' time. So we're really going to... I guess that'd be a good thing to watch at WRC or follow, that we'll have someone really relatable from Australia. Because a few years ago when Luke Anir and Andy Sarandis, a definite friend of the show, was doing a few rounds of WRC 2, that was added a bit more flavour to us down under watching and listening, following the events, I suppose. So hopefully, Taylor will be able to bring the same to us, and we wish him all the best, and hopefully he can win. And if he does win, I think he gets a season in WRC2.
Yes, that's the prize. Stiff competition. It was a really, really interesting battle last year. It's gonna be quite interesting. I just thought we'd go back to trailer news if we wanted. So Andy Sarandis, friend of the show, he's also refurbishing his trailer. It's got a new tire rack and a new toolbox for the front of that. So I think we could keep all the listeners updated. So we've got a lot of trailer talk coming up.
Fair enough. If you want your latest trailer news and weights, how many brakes you're meant to have or don't have, listen to the regroup trailer podcast. Anyway, Sweden. Monty.
Monty.
Ah, this is what I wanted to talk about. It was the point system.
Yes.
It's been a bit of a shit show, to be honest. So the FIA wanted to make things more interesting because everybody that's sort of, they're in 15th position in the rally, come Sunday they go really slow to save their tyres at the power stage, and so they can maybe salvage some points there. So the FIA wanted to make the Sunday more entertaining and push drivers harder. So just a quick snapshot of it to decipher the whole thing. Points are given out from results up to Saturday night. So most rallies start on Friday morning. So the first 2 days, there's points for that. Then on the Sunday, there's points for just the Sunday itself. And then there's is the normal points for the power stage as well. However, it doesn't actually affect the overall rally result. If you're still the fastest person over the 3 days culminative, you win the rally. But potentially, and again, there's going to be heaps of false facts that we talk about here, I've been hearing things like you could potentially finish fourth and get the same amount of points as the actual winner of the rally if you won Sunday, won the power stage, you know, maybe even won Saturday, but then got overtaken or something like that. So it just makes it really hard to, I guess, follow the points. However, I mean, what's your take first, then?
It's interesting. I agree with kind of what your sentiment is and like the reason you don't like it, but I think in theory, it's a bad idea. And in practice, it's not going to matter at all. I think in practice, the winner of the rally is going to get the most points. And the people that are going slow on Sunday are going to go faster. And I think the fundamental reason for them doing it is going to be a success. Perhaps there'll be one or two rounds where it's quirky and people are like, oh, this is the reason I hate it. But I feel like it's just going to kind of be a normal rally. Thierry's going to win on the Saturday, and he's going to win on the Sunday, and that's the winner, you know? Like, it's not going to be... If you put the point system back onto last year's events or the previous years or whatever, I think you'd be surprised to see how irrelevant it really is. But hopefully, last year was really, really bad for it, with Sundays being super boring. So hopefully it does fix the Sunday being boring thing. And look, if there's one or two rallies where it... you know, it's a bit of a clusterfuck of points and shit, then that'd be disappointing, but I hope there isn't. I think it'll be all right.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. And in reality, that was my experience of Rally Monte Carlo was, yeah, it didn't really affect what was going on. Like, Neville and Ogier were still fighting tooth and nail for the lead. We weren't thinking about points just watching the rally. It was about who won the event. It's a bit more maybe than they, you know, have the live points on the screen for the power stage, which Tacker did very well. He upset Evans there, which is interesting. But yeah, on face value, like you're saying, and maybe the end result at the end of the year, the best driver will still win. Maybe like my small takeaway with just analysing the points after Monte Carlo is that Neville did get... he did take everything. He won Saturday, won Sunday, won the power stage. Top bloke, top driver, amazing results. He still only ended up with the same 30 points, which last year would have been 25 for the win, 5 for the power stage. But Evans, who finished third, his main championship rival, what should be, he got, I think he got 21 points in the end, and he got only got 2 from the power stage. So usually third... position would have got 15 points and 2 from the power stage, 17 points. So he actually gained 4 points there through that system, where last year he would have been 4 points extra behind. So,
but he had mechanical and little dramas and niggles and stuff, didn't he, which held him back Saturday. Is that right?
Yeah, he had a few hybrid issues, I believe, but still. But then, you know, once those things were gone, he still couldn't match the pace.
But do you think that's likely to happen every round, is someone has little issues and then goes way faster Sunday? Like, it's not often that's going to happen, right?
So you're saying, it could help people who have a stupid mechanical issue and then it's able to keep them in the championship and make the championship more exciting?
Yeah, I feel like that's the reason they've done it, is if you have a really bad Friday and Saturday. But if you really do the maths on how often people have a really bad Friday and Saturday and are still competitive, it's not that often, right? Evans would be, Monte Carlo would be quite unique in that way, I'd like to think. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, I think like the concerns were it was going to make watching the rally awkward or, you know, difficult to follow, but I don't think it did at all. And for those of us that are really interested in everything, it probably makes it almost more interesting analysing the points. And definitely there's probably more strategy with the... how the drivers approach everything. So it will be interesting to see how it plays out. They have said that they could potentially change it, but I doubt they would change it halfway through the year.
Do you have any fruit on you at the moment?
No.
I have a bag of hash browns. Does that count as fruit?
No.
Okay. But coming up to the quarantine bins, we're about to, crossing the border? Is that what we're doing?
No, we're coming into the Riverland.
Oh, the Riverland. That's right. If you're ever in South Australia, the one thing
don't
we take,
fruit.
do not bring fruit. How many times do we have to fucking say it? Anyway, so we're coming into the Riverland, about to pass the quarantine bins. We're probably going to get pulled over and the full inspection. We live in a police state, so...
Yeah, well, I got a bit of a story about that and a bit of a bone to pick with the, I don't know, South Australian government. Who would you call them? Biosecurity, quarantine people. So a few years ago, this is a regroup story, really, Zone and GT. Mm-hmm. This was delving back into the back catalogue here. We went across to do the World Rally Championship, what was going to be the last World Rally Championship round for Australia back in 2019 over in Coffs Harbour, amazing destination for a rally, a holiday, everything else, basically my second home. Really love it over there. Love you, Quinny. Cheers, mate.
Every time the Coffs comes up, you got to 5 minutes of how much you love it, don't you?
Oh, mate, the hills. The beach, the right amount of people, the airport.
Enough coughs. What
just full roast into glasses here. Anyway, we saddled up in my Hilux and drove 2,000 kilometres over across the country, listening to a bit of country music and along the way, and that was all well and good. We got there on, what was it, the Saturday before the event to just, you know, we're at a 5-star resort. Not really.
0.5
star resort. Anyway, no, it was all good. We were going to put our feet up for a few days and enjoy the Coffs Harbour hospitality. But that night, I think it was about midnight, wasn't it? It came through really late. Basically, we'd come through, say, Saturday morning through the Great Dividing Range and looking north towards Brisbane Way, north, that is. Yep, clearly if you're heading towards the beach. You could see a bit of smoke happening. On the news and that, okay, there's a few bushfires further up north and blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. They're up there. We're down here. That night, it had escalated so much that they initially cancelled the national section of the event, so what we were doing, the ARC. Obviously, the last thing they want to do is cancel an international event, and so it was still looking like the WRC would go ahead. At that point anyway. It was pretty devastating for us. And what did we spend that Sunday doing, Zane?
We went to the Big Banana.
Yeah, that's the one.
Mini golf, yep. And all the attractions. That's it, by the way. That's just the mini golf at the Big Banana.
But there's never been a more sadder person.
No. Yeah, got you being sad on at every location in Coffs Harbour.
Yeah, with matching Hawaiian shirts. that was a sad day. Had a few drinks. When we went to go home Monday, it was quite incredible. And I think because they didn't cancel the WRC event till the Monday, but when we went through back through the hills, back through the mountains, you couldn't see 20 metres off the side of the road. And I remember the smoke followed us like 1,000 k's inland, didn't it?
Yeah, it was incredible. It was pretty crazy. And I think, it was one of those things where, in hindsight, there was probably a couple stages and a couple roads and stuff like that they could have used and probably could have strung an event together, but no one was really in the mood at that point. And when you got a natural disaster at that scale happening, it's kind of, motorsport isn't really the top priority. So they did cancel it and we drove home, but it was pretty hectic. It was a lot of fire, a lot of smoke. So.
Yeah, not good. Rayleigh Raceway got a bit of a makeover. I remember old mate, because they were going to run half the rally around the rallycross track at Rayleigh Raceway, and old mate had his bulldozer out, like making new tracks through the scrub.
He's just cutting roads through the scrub for Sebastian Ogier to go hit later.
So he's probably done well out of that, you know. He got a few bit more land, maybe tidied up a little bit in a couple of hours there. But, getting back to the point here, so we were, following all this smoke inland, and there was dust storms. It was awful. It was a dry year. And we got just past, we went through Mildura. And then, is it Loxton? No, that's past that. Wherever the quarantine station is coming into SA. And we got to the quarantine station. We did have fruit, so we stopped. And old mate says, hey, mate, hey, guys, you got any fruit? Yeah, mate, we got this. Here you go, here's our fruit. And he says, you're going to have to step out the vehicle, we'll just come inside. I'm like, oh, okay. It's a bit weird. Do you remember this?
I do remember this, yeah.
Yeah, Zane was just blindly sitting in the car going, it's his! It's his!
I didn't pack the boogie board bag. It's not my fruit.
So yeah, he was heaps of help there. So I basically go into an interrogation room, you know.
Did you get fiddled? Do you want to? Are we allowed to talk about this?
Oh, I won't go into all the details there. But there was nothing on the walls. You know, I got a metal chair. There was a camera in the corner. No, but then this is legit. He literally got out these laminated photos from this drawer and put them in front of me and said, "Did you see this? Did you see this?" And there were photos of the quarantine bins and signs saying you must ditch your fruit before the border of the station. I tried telling him that it was a flame and dust storm that day and we couldn't see any of those signs and we sort of wanted to keep our eyes on the road. He wouldn't have any of it. He also told me that there wouldn't be any fine on the day. Let us go. No dramas. Cool. No dramas. No worries. So a few weeks later in the mail, get something like a $350 fine. I love a spewing.
Did you have to pay it?
Yeah, I did try and contest it, saying, you know, all the reasons I told that bloke, and every other time I'd gone through that quarantine station in my life, you could just declare the fruit at the station. But no, so put it in the bin before the station. Public service announcement.
Well, now you know. This is why he's done that. He's taught you a very harsh lesson, and it's worked. You know, you're a full advocate for not bringing fruit into the Riverland region.
There you go. So all 50 people that are going to listen to this podcast are now more the wiser and don't bring fruit into SA. Exactly what we said about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But that's why.
Yeah.
So
what about like the bag of the Allen's bananas and stuff? Is there where do you draw the line with the fruit? Does that be fresh?
Yeah, I suppose so. And the irony is you could take fruit across the border into Victoria and New South Wales and then bring it back, but you're still... Well, you can't bring it back.
Bringing fruit without fruit flies in it, no one's really going to care, are they? Like, you can't spread not having fruit flies.
Don't you have to bring a receipt? If, like,
yeah. I don't know.
Who cares?
Look, I just don't eat fruit anymore. That's the moral of the story. Don't eat fruit. Kids, don't eat fruit.
No. It's not what he was trying to teach you, guy.
Anyway, my kids actually do love fruit. It's horribly messy and you can't take it across the border. So basically, we're just going to stay at home with wet wipes the rest of our life. Anyway, this is not a parenting podcast. Were we still talking about Monte Carlo?
I don't know anymore. What are we talking about? I feel like this might be a good place to end this episode. So this is Speedway Month on the regroup.
Are we going to any other rounds or?
No. Well, we might catch the bug. I don't think it's likely, but we're here.
So, just quickly on that and catching the bug with turning left, you were telling me, so Zane, we both had a bit of a year off rallying last year. I did a bit of co-driving, but you spent most of your money on a big USA trip. And you did actually, you know, tick a thing off the bucket list over there.
Yeah, so I don't know if you know this, rallying people, but if you just don't go to a rally, you can actually afford to go on holiday. I know, we're probably going to lose about 30 competitors out of
that. That's why I was saying Coffs Harbour so good. Yeah. That was my holiday.
Yeah. I know, it's a dangerous fact to be telling people, but just don't go to one round and you can have like a month holiday. But anyway, so I did that, took a season off rallying and went on holiday instead. So I went to America, went to NASA, which was mind-blowing because I'm a bit of a space nerd, but I went to a NASCAR round. I went to professional turn left. Saw the world's most interesting people sitting in the stands. And yeah, it was a good experience. It was interesting. It was hard. It was very hard to follow. I was at Martinsville, if any NASCAR fans are listening. Martinsville is a short track. And there was a lot of cars. I didn't know any of them. And they were all going around in circles. And I didn't love it. But yeah, it was an experience nonetheless.
Like you said, it was an experience, just not a good one.
Yeah. That might be a bit harsh, but I think that's pretty accurate. I think if I really loved one of the drivers or two of the drivers or whatever it was, it'd be a lot easier to kind of support. But when they're all just 40 different-looking Camry-looking cars.
Yeah. I mean, something I've learned lately too, NASCAR, they almost like swap their sponsors every round because they get a sponsor for one event and then the next event. And so you can't, there's no continuation of colours.
I got a really fun fact for everyone. So I actually met some people over there that worked at NASCAR. They worked in the NASCAR team. So the top NASCAR teams build 4 cars a week.
Yeah, right.
4 cars a week.
Wow.
How many rally cars get built in this country in a year? 4? Yeah. Like, it's mental. And obviously, they go through them a lot. The new car of the future, or whatever they've got at the moment, it's meant to be, you have to be able to refurbish it, like replace the front and the back end, and it's a new car. But they still keep building four cars a week. You know, there's no cost saving measures in NASCAR.
Yeah, interesting. Anyway, enough on turning left on tarmac.
The most fun I had at NASCAR was learning about the engineering and the cars and stuff. The least fun was watching the race, so.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, cool. So, anyway, season of turning left, and we'll come back soon and talk about gravel rallying.
Yeah. We thought we'd get the current events out first, but join us for week two of Speedway Week next week, and thank you for sticking with us.
Yeah, cheers. Do we say like or subscribe or follow? We probably better shout out to our sponsor, who we probably only mentioned once. Application service provider, ASP. They provide us with their amazing recording equipment, which is picking up every bearing noise in this Lexus at the moment. But what do they do, Zane?
They're an application service provider.
Yeah, for my dishwasher.
They provide services for application. I think they do IT stuff. And they you can get microphones and podcast equipment through them as well. So there you go.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah, anyway, thanks ASP. If you need any, I think it's website hosting stuff.
Lots of IT stuff in general.
Okay, your computer's not working? Call ASP.
No, don't do that. They wouldn't appreciate that at all.
But. Oh, well, I'm saying do it because it's IT related.
It's the opposite of a sponsorship. We give them the business they don't want.
So any business is good business.
Next time your laptop stops working, give them a call.
Thanks, guys. See you next time.
See ya.
Thanks for waiting around. It's time to hit the road. If you liked The Regroup, please follow us wherever you get your podcasts.